Today on The Journey.
The book of Proverbs was written by Solomon to parents. This king understood the first thing we have to do is to teach our children the fear of the Lord.
Parenting is a fearful thing. We have children when we are the least experienced in raising them. But thanks be to God, there is another fear that can lessen our fear of parenting. Today, Ron Moore explains that fear and the great wisdom it brings. Listen and become a more confident parent. Before that, we want you to know about Ron's study notes on the book of Proverbs. Proverbs has been called the best parenting book ever written. And this interactive study booklet will guide you through its key verses, helping you raise responsible, godly children. It's yours for a gift of any amount. Remember, your donation will help further our ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with the message, Living Wisely on the Journey.
Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to the book of Proverbs. The author of the Proverbs primarily is Solomon. Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived. He was given that wisdom by God when he first took over as king. Now, there were other wise men in the world at that time, in antiquity, but Solomon was the wisest. Here was the difference between Solomon and all the other wise men. Solomon's wisdom was theistic. It was focused on God. The book of Proverbs is theistic. The wisdom of everyone else was humanistic. It was focused on man. Today, what I want to do is focus on one passage in the first chapter. It's in verse 7. This is the theme of the book. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. It's the fear of the Lord where wisdom begins. Now, let's make sure we understand what wisdom is. Wisdom, throughout the Proverbs, the word chokmah in the Hebrew means this: embracing God's word and learning the skills of living out biblical truth in everyday life. That word wisdom first referred to men who had great skills in garment making. They made the garments of the high priest. And then men who had great skill in building. They were the ones who were commissioned to build the temple. And then this word becomes a word in the Hebrew language that means not just skills, the ability to do something, but it means moral skills, the skills to live a life that pleases God. Now we see in these verses that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's where it starts. That word beginning means principal part. It means the first step in the course of action. It means the chief thing. It means a capstone. The fear of the Lord is the thing that holds wisdom together. The fear of the Lord holds our life together when we embrace God's word and we learn the skills of living out biblical truth in everyday life. The book of Proverbs was written by Solomon to parents. This king understood if the nation of Israel was going to continue, if it was going to be strong, wisdom, godly wisdom, had to be passed on to children. First, it had to be understood, right? You can't teach something you don't understand. It had to be ingrained in one's life. And then it had to be taught to children by words and by actions. It had to be taught to children by parents. It had to be taught to children by grandparents. It had to be taught to children by teachers. It had to be taught to children by mentors. That's the reason Solomon wrote this book. This is wisdom to be grasped with our minds, with our hearts, with our hands, and passed on to our kids. And Solomon says the first thing we have to do is to teach our children the fear of the Lord. Now the question is, what does fear of the Lord mean? If you're a student of the Bible, you will read the word fear connected with God over 300 times as you read Scripture. So we need to know what the fear of the Lord means. Two things we want to do today. What does it mean to fear the Lord? And who is this God we are to fear? This is what we need to know so that we can live it out, so that we can teach it to our children. So let's begin by working to understand what the fear of the Lord means. When Martin Luther in the 1500s was dealing with this topic, when he was thinking about what all this thing about grace meant, he started dealing with the fear of the Lord. And Martin Luther famously used two words to describe the fear of the Lord. He used two Latin words. He used the word servile, and he used the word filial. Servile is the type of fear that you have when you are in submission to somebody else. But Luther said, that's not what the Bible means when we talk about fear of the Lord. So Luther used this other term, filial, which in English means family fear. And Luther used this to describe the fear that a loving child has for a loving father, a parent. The child wants to please the parent. They're not worried about punishment, but they're more worried. Their fear comes in displeasing the very ones giving them security and giving them protection. And that's the fear of the Lord. So when you see in Scripture, fear the Lord, we're saying this: the fear of the Lord is the awe and reverence for my loving Father demonstrated by a life of wisdom. It's just not saying, boy, I love you, God, I fear you, God. It's demonstrating it in all that we do. And remember how we define wisdom: embracing God's word and living it out, learning the skills to live it out in everyday life. Now, when you read Proverbs 1:7, you see that it's the fear of the Lord, all caps. Anytime you are reading Scripture and you see Lord in all caps, that is a translation of the Hebrew word Yahweh. And when you read Lord in all caps, this translation of the Hebrew word Yahweh, just think in your mind, personal relationship. The word Lord, all caps, translation of Yahweh, is used to describe the covenant-keeping God. The God who has made a covenant with his people. You're my people, I am your God. I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. And so, the writer of the Proverbs, Solomon, says, the fear of Yahweh, this covenant-keeping God, my heavenly Father, the one who never leaves me, the one who never forsakes me, the one who always has my best interest at heart, the fear of Yahweh, that's the beginning of wisdom. Now, Solomon doesn't stop there. I got to answer a question. Who is this God we're to fear? How do I respond to him? And so in the book of Proverbs, Solomon explains to us who God is. We could come out of here with a lot of descriptions of God, but let me give you six. Here's the first one. Solomon says we are to live in the fear of God because he is the creator of all things. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 2. The rich and the poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. When Solomon says that, he's taking us back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. In Genesis chapter 1, we read, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the word for God there is Elohim. Elohim is the all-powerful God who can speak the world into existence. But when we get to chapter 2, and the writer is telling us how God created man, we add another name for God here. Then the Lord God, Yahweh, Elohim, formed the man from the dust of the ground. And it was Yahweh who breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. So when you think of Yahweh, think of the Creator who got on his knees and bowed down to breathe into man the breath of life. That's Yahweh. He's our maker. He's our creator. We live in awe and reverence of God because it all starts with him. Without him, we never were. Without him, we cease to be. It's the understanding of God that we begin with, this fear of God. He is our creator. He's the one who made us, not we ourselves. And when we teach it to our kids, not only do they need to grasp that essential truth, but that impacts the way they think of other people. Because Solomon says, the rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. And then Solomon adds in chapter 14, verse 31, the first part, whoever oppresses the poor man insults his maker. You see, when we live in awe and fear of God, it's not just vertical, right? It's horizontal as well. It impacts the way we deal with other people. You oppress the poor, you insult the maker. Number two, Solomon says, we're going to live in fear of God. We have to understand, we have to grasp that he is in control of all things. Do you really believe that? Proverbs chapter 16, verse 33, the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. You can cast the lots, but God is the one in control. Every decision is from the Lord. I love this verse, Proverbs 21, verse 1. The king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord, and he turns it wherever he will. If you're a student of the Old Testament, you know that there were some times Israel looked at God and said, God, what are you doing? Why are you letting the Babylonians rule? Why are you letting the Assyrians gain so much power? And God said, I'm still in control, but I'm using them for my sovereign purposes. When you read the paper, don't panic. Know that God is in control. Number three, we live in awe and reverence of God because he hates evil and injustice. He doesn't just hate it out there in the world, but he hates it right here in our hearts. Solomon is not writing this book so that we just apply it to everyone else. Solomon's writing this book so we apply it to ourselves. This is a book you read looking in the mirror. In chapter 6, verses 16 through 19, the writer says this, there are six things the Lord hates. I forgot one, seven things, really, that are abomination to him. Haughty eyes, that's pride. Throughout the book of Proverbs, God hates pride. A person who sets himself or herself up above everything else and everyone else. God says, I hate that. I hate a lying tongue. God is a God of truth. God is a God of honesty. God is a God of integrity. And he hates those who don't tell the truth. God says, thirdly, I hate hands that shed innocent blood. I hate those who are so evil in their heart that they would take the life of another person. I hate a heart that devises wicked plans. That person who in their heart is trying to hurt someone. I hate feet that run to evil. People that just can't stay away from doing evil things. I hate, God says, a false witness who breathes out lies. Someone who will actually get on a witness stand, whether it's in a courtroom or whether it's in a group of friends, and tell an untruth about another person to bring that person down. God says, we don't do that here. And God says, here's what I hate. I hate the one who sows discord among brothers, who's always trying to stir something up, who's always trying to bring other people down. Seven things. The Lord hates evil and he hates injustice. And because he does, when we live in awe and respect and honor of him, we should too. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is the hatred of evil. When we fear the Lord, we hate evil. When we live in fear, awe, reverence, respect, and love for him, we hate what he hates. Number four, we live in fear of the Lord because he knows us intimately. He knows what I'm thinking. He knows what I'm feeling. He knows my motives. He knows my actions. Check this out, Proverbs 15:3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. Speaking of God's omnipotence, he is all-powerful. Speaking of God's omnipresence, he is everywhere at the same time in his full being. And speaking of God's omniscience, he is all-knowing. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. There is no person that can hide from God. Chapter 15, verse 11. Sheol and Abaddon, that's two names for the depths or hell, lie open before the Lord. How much more the hearts of the children of men. Now, when you read the word heart in Scripture, remember, it is a metaphor for your thinking, your emotions, and your will. God knows it all. Chapter 16 and chapter 21, check this out. All the ways of man are pure in his own eyes. Isn't that true? Speaks of our motives. We can rationalize and justify our motives. But the Lord, he weighs the spirit. He truly evaluates it. And a corresponding passage in 21, every way of man is right in his own eyes. That doesn't speak of motives now. That speaks of actions. And again, we can rationalize it and we can justify any action we take. But the Lord weighs the heart. He knows what we're thinking. He knows our emotions. He knows our actions. God is intimately acquainted with all of our ways. That's why we fear him. Awe and respect and honor and reverence. Because he knows everything about us. Number five, we live in awe and respect because he is intimately at work in our lives. Here's the first one. The Lord provides safety and protection. Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Every city in the ancient world had a tower in the middle. And that tower is where they kept all their weapons. And when the enemy came, they would run to the tower and they would get their weapons. If the enemy started breaching the wall, that was the place of safety. You ran to the tower and you would get into the tower. There you were safe. Well, Solomon says, you see that big tower over there, people in Jerusalem, that we run to? The person of the Lord. He is our strong tower. The righteous, we run into him, and that's where we're safe. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 25, 26. Do not be afraid of sudden terror or the ruin of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and he will keep your foot from being caught. You don't have to be afraid as a believer. How many times in Scripture do we hear those words? Don't fear, God is with you. Don't fear, God's on your side. Solomon says the same thing. He's our confidence when we fear him, when we live in awe and reverence and respect of him. Secondly, the Lord is intimately involved in our life. He purifies our hearts. Proverbs 17:3. The crucible is for silver and the furnace is for gold. The Lord tests the hearts. Just like you put silver and gold in a fire to refine it. So God takes us through some fire sometime, doesn't he? to refine our hearts, to make our hearts the hearts He wants us to have in order to do the things He wants us to do. Here's the next one. God delights in our prayers. He wants us to communicate with Him. Proverbs 15:8, the sacrifices of the wicked are abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is acceptable to Him. Proverbs 15:29, the Lord is far from the wicked. He hears the prayer of the righteous. Aren't you glad God hears our prayers? And here's one that we don't like that much. The Lord disciplines us. Proverbs 3:11-12 says, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of His reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom He loves as a father, the son in whom He delights. He loves us too much to let us play in sin. The Lord reproves him whom He loves. Number five, the Lord provides His word. Look at Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Solomon writes, my son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom, inclining your hearts to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from His mouth come understanding and knowledge. Solomon is saying, seek it. Read God's word like you were searching for a hidden treasure. It's all there. Read God's word like you are mining for gold. Study it. Reflect on it. Observe it. Apply it to your life. And here's the cool thing. It's cyclical. Solomon says, the fear of the Lord produces knowledge, wisdom. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's where we start. But then, when you read God's word, you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Look at the cycle that goes on there. The fear of the Lord is the beginning, but then when you continue to seek God through His word, He provides more fear of the Lord. That's the process of spiritual growth. One more thing. We fear the Lord because He can be trusted. Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man lays a snare. If you take your fear that you should have for God, your awe and respect and reverence, and you put that on a man, a woman, it lays a snare. You're always going to be disappointed. And so Proverbs 3:5-6 say this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight.
And please stay with us. Ron will be back with a preview of our next broadcast right after this. Parenting in the modern world is challenging and sometimes exhausting, but there's real help to be found in an ancient book. The Proverbs contain wisdom deeply rooted in an understanding of God and people. But the book is not theoretical. It's a practical instruction manual for parenting in the real world. To help apply its wisdom to your life and family, Ron has prepared an easy and interactive study guide. It's titled Proverbs, Everyday Wisdom, Everyday Life. In it, you'll discover what it means to fear God, the blessings of humility, the importance of friendship, and how to live with purity in a sex-crazed world. The Proverbs Study Guide is yours for a donation of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with a look at our next time together.
Humility has nothing to do with the personality trait. You could be quiet and reserved and not be humble. You can be loud and outspoken and not be proud.
We hope you'll join us for that message next time. Also, we want to send you a copy of Ron's interactive study guide on the book of Proverbs. It's titled Proverbs, everyday wisdom, everyday life. This booklet is yours for a gift of any amount, and you can get it at ronmoore.org. Again, our address is ronmoore.org, or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. And by the way, we'd like to invite Pittsburgh area listeners to visit our church website at biblechapel.org. There you'll find information about our area campuses and their ministries. They're located in Robinson, Ross Draver, South Hills, Washington, and Wilkinsburg. Again, that address is biblechapel.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, please tell your friends and family about our program. Also, keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron Moore next time as we walk together on the journey.